Well, hi there, little buddy. I never seen you in this place before. You coming here very often?
Well, no, I don't. I was just passing through.
What's that doohickey you got there?
Oh, this? This is my iPod.
Pretty little thing. What's it do?
Well, I play music or podcasts on it.
What's a podcast?
Well, it's like a radio show that I can listen to whenever I want.
You got any Dolly Parton or Randy Travis on there?
Well, no, I'm afraid I don't. I don't much listen to country music.
Huh! You wouldn't be one of them damn commies from California, would you?
Sir, would you mind very much if I asked you to leave me alone? I would very much like to sit here in peace and listen to Technorama.
See? I knew you was a commie!
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama! This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. And please consult your doctor before listening to Technorama if you're already taking medication. This is show number 119 for Thursday, June 22nd, 2006. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and the man passing out the free samples is the co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Here you go. Don't eat this one. Here you go. Don't eat the brown acid.
Wow, man, look at your microphone. If you're a first time listener joining us, welcome.
You're probably leaving now.
If not, welcome back. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got all kinds of doodah, such as
don't set that laptop in your lap.
It may burst into flames. Boy, I knew they had problems with, you know, birth control problems with those things.
He was looking at too much porn.
Also got some interesting picture collections or links to thereof about rock stacking. These are the professional rock stackers. Do not try this at home.
Yeah.
Might end up with a sore foot. And we have
Or you could end up with a sponsor and get on the circuit.
That's true. Professional rock stacking. The season never ends. And we got a metric schlug in the media corner. Just tons of stuff. Right after our usual...
on this day in tech history.
Thanks. On this day in tech history for June 22nd, 2006. This is June 22nd. It's the 173rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 192 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1633 that the Holy Office in Rome forces Galileo Galilei to recant his scientific view that the sun, not the earth, is the center of the universe. And on this date in 1978, Charon, a satellite of the planet Pluto, is discovered. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1757 to George Vancouver, the British explorer. And finally, happy birthday to cosmonaut Yuri Arkukin, born on this date in 1930. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for June 22nd, 2006.
I'm Patrick Norton, DLTV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Ooh. All right, I know that wasn't much for On This Day in Tech History, but there wasn't much on this day in tech history. It was pretty slim. Well, however,
that just means we have to make it up as we go.
No. Yeah, this is the day that Bill Gates tied his shoes, which he does every day, so you can't lose on that one.
On the first day he went to Microsoft, this is the day he tied his shoes.
I asked permission from Richard Vobe's Sunday night's show, which was Monday. We mentioned that it was the birthday of mathematician Blaise Pascal, who also is the namesake of the Pascal programming. So I've got this.
So what happened this day in history then? This contribution, thank you for the pronunciation, by Andrew Oakley. For the 19th of June, this day in history, mathematician Blaise Pascal was born in France on this day in 1623. That's a fair old time ago, isn't it? Funnily enough, in the 17th century. He was a child prodigy and by the age of 16 had written a mathematical essay on projective geometry, which is the system used by artists to give depth to their paintings. Pascal, also one of the principal writers of probability theory, which is the foundation for gambling and modern economics. Do you use probability theory? I wish I could. He was a sickly child, suffering throughout his life from a nervous ailment. Poor little thing, bit like Eric, really. Sickly, sir! This left him in constant pain. He soaked his socks in brandy to keep his feet warm and encouraging blood circulation. Well, wouldn't you? In 1647, age 24, Pascal had a religious vision after the horses pulling his carriage plummeted over the side of a bridge. The reins broke and his carriage hung over the edge. Pascal remained unconscious for 3 days, during which he claimed to have the vision of fire and brimstone. Ooh, fire and brimstone! whatever that might be. Pascal spent his later years touring convents and churches in France and died when he died in 1662 at the age of 39, a young man, younger than me, after a long stomach illness. An autopsy revealed that his nervous ailment was most likely a brain lesion, which some might suggest also had been the cause of his genius. Well, there you are. You can be a genius if you don't mind having a bit of a brain lesion and dying young.
That's lovely. Hey, if you want to hear more good stuff like that, you can head over to vobes.com. Richard does his whole show.
You gotta have goals, man.
What, dying young and being a genius?
With lesions.
I don't understand how a stomach ailment could turn into brain lesions.
I don't know.
That was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
But thank you very much, Richard. Vobes.com is where you can find his show and more good stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they gave me a free plug the other day. They said his son Stanley, who's 15, going to be 16 in about a month, said, Stanley and I are going down to the train station and we're going to pass out pamphlets about podcasting and say, have you listened to a podcast before? Do you know what a podcast is? There are some very good ones out there and we have a very good one also. And Stanley pipes up and he goes, yeah, Chuck Tomasi's show is very good.
Thank you.
And ooh, hey. Stanley.
Hey, by the way, Paul.com Security Weekly, they gave us a nice little plug on there as well.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Did you not listen to it yet?
Not yet. I'm behind. I'm way behind. I haven't even listened to your latest fit tip.
You are slack. Anyway, I thought I would just throw that out there because I did appreciate them saying something nice about us.
All right, let's get into the email because we have ton of listener feedback.
Captain, incoming message.
A lot of incoming messages.
That's right.
We're going to try this with a little music in the background just to make it a little more enlightening.
Yeah.
First one's from Bob from Appleton. He writes us with a Hamachi trick. He says, hey, Chuck Bob. And Craig, spelling your name wrong just to goad you. 3 or 4 shows back, you guys brought up Hamachi. I figured out a nice little trick. If you use the free Hamachi on Windows, you can run it as a service. Run it as a service. You need to register.
Let me take this one, Chuck.
Okay, go ahead.
I figured it'd be a nice little trick. If you use Hamachi on Windows, you can't actually run it as a service. You need to register it to do that. But there is a little trick I learned. I added that part. Once you have it all configured the way you want it and like it, create a scheduled task that launches Hamachi at boot. It will run the program with the settings of the person who created the task, just like you have a free service that supports up to, and just like that, you have a free service that supports up to 16 clients. How about that? We stumbled all the way through it, both of us. Actually, I thought that was a pretty good tip. I did find the instructions on how to make it a service, and that seems a lot easier. So,
that is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, hang on to that one if you're interested and you use Hamachi like us. You can now get it to run automatically, like it was a service. Second one is from Clive Jevons. He wrote a while back, last show I think it was. He says, "Hi Chuck, whenever I have to use Windows machines, I always install VirtuaWin." And he gives us a link at virtuawin.sourceforge.net as the second thing, the first being Sigwin. I find this to be much better than the Microsoft one. But then it's all about personal preferences, isn't it? The mouse tab, I use Alt myself, but again, personal prefs and that. Cheers, Clive. So another virtual window manager option we've got, VirtuaWin.
Yep. And actually, that's what I did go find. I found that a while back for Valid Syntax, and I went and installed it, and I do like it. It's a lot nicer.
Ooh. Fodder for your other show.
That's right.
Next one's from...
At ValidSyntax.com.
Go there now. No, well, when the show's done.
Yeah.
Next email's from John Tyler regarding interviews. Chuck, I listen to your podcast at night while at work after everyone on first shift has left for the day. Oh, you got to tell them what you're doing.
Apparently the music is distracting you and me.
So last night I listened to your... No, I read like this all the time. So last night I listened to your interview with David Levy. That was an outstanding interview. I was amazed on what he's accomplished through self-education in astronomy. You did a great job at bringing out those personal stories and events in his life that you never read about. He seems like a real down-to-earth and humble about his accomplishments. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very down-to-earth guy. I also enjoyed your recent interview with Twister Sisters also. They seem to be very dedicated to what they do. Well, you better pay attention when you're chasing storms.
Yeah.
Maybe for future interviews, you could get one of the early astronauts and compare the technology from early space flights and compare it with what is now available for in-home use. Do you have rockets in your house?
No, I got some rocket fuel downstairs, but don't really use it much. I use it for deep frying the turkey on Thanksgiving.
Actually, he's not too far off. I'll give you an update at the end. Well, yeah, still, the ultimate interview will be the one with General Chuck Yeager. Yes, I'm working on that. Interesting, he mentioned the astronaut thing, and I do have a friend of the family, former NASA employee. He's been retired for about 27 years, but he was there during the golden years, and I'm going to be doing kind of a pre-interview in the next week or so, and then we'll get a formal interview. I just need some talking points to write down, and then we can sort of script up the questions. We're also working on the interview with Dr. Robert Ballard, the man who discovered the Titanic, Bismarck, and many other underwater exploratory things. We're going to do a follow-up report with Leo Laporte of TWIT, the former Tech TV guy, and Charles Stell, one of our Technorama listeners. He's a former engineer. I believe he's at HP, if I'm not mistaken, and now he is a laser cutter extraordinaire, so he's got a lot of cool things to talk about. I'm also trying to get a slant on the tech of the railroad and interstate shipping. My cousin works for Schneider Trucking. They drive around all the orange trucks.
And, that's cool.
They've got some interesting stuff. They also have Schneider Communications to keep in track with a lot of their trucks and things. So I want to find out what's going on there. And interestingly enough, got some pictures from another one of our listeners who's a nuclear technician. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like potential fodder for an interview as well. I don't know what a nuclear technician does.
Whoa, stop right there. Let's write that one down.
So he's got a picture of... He's kind of got this glass plate between him. He's wearing one of the hospital bunny suits, and he's listening to Technorama. And there's a computer inside where the nuclear technician stuff is.
Right.
So you're looking at these radioisotope things, I presume. And on there is the Technorama website.
Oh, cool! I thought you were going to say he was holding one of the rods.
Our webpage has been irradiated.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Another email from Dean Jensen, a.k.a. Beaker1. This isn't just the read out the email night. You mentioned on your last Technorama the World Cup. Check out this site, robocup.org, for those who are truly geeky and can't play sports. Apparently, this is a long-term commitment competition with some competitions going on now. The RoboCup is, they say by 2050, they want to get fully autonomous robots to play soccer against each other.
I bet they can do that by then.
Football. But right now, or excuse me, they'll be playing it against the humans. Right now, they're doing robot against robot, and they're just sort of polishing it. Yeah, 2050, you know how freaking old I'm going to be in 2050?
They better hurry up.
Hope I'm alive. So, yeah. Thank you, Beaker One. We will include the link in the show notes as always.
And I did want to also point out that there is a Firefox extension to keep up with the World Cup, what's left. Was it another week or less?
I forget. I think so. I know USA plays Ghana on Thursday, which is the day this show is dated. So hopefully you get it.
This is sponsored by, I'm trying to figure this is Yoga or whatever. It's J-O-G-A. And they've got a link on Mozilla's website with a Firefox extension you can stick in there, and it gives you about every stat of whatever's going on at that moment. It's pretty cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
What's this other one? Yes, our story about... Did you do the letter from Jonathan about exploding laptops? I was just listening to your podcast this morning, reading the feedback about laptops causing sterility. Wasn't that a while ago?
Yeah, it's been a...
Anyway, so everybody's heard the story about how hot laptops are on a man's lap. And then I saw a Slashdot post about a laptop that exploded during a conference in Japan.
Hey, now that will cause sterility.
There's something fishy, though. This thing it looks like it just exploded because there's a plume of smoke coming out one side and things burst into flames. And I question whether anybody could have their cell phone that ready on a moment's notice. I mean, something suddenly went...
There's a bunch of business guys in there. Of course they're going to have cell phones. There's one sitting around on the table.
Going up in flames. I think this man set the laptop on fire. You know how they always blame the superhero? You know, how does Spider-Man actually get these pictures? I think he's going around setting these disasters. Well, I think this man set the laptop on fire so he could get these awesome pictures.
I don't know, but it sure doesn't look good, whatever it is.
We'll be back after a break.
Here at the Center of Podcast Studies, we know the dangers of podcasting and what you should avoid. Here's a sample.
All right, it works. Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your geek morning show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
For your own research materials, visit chuckchat.com/technorama. Protect yourself.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi, and this is Johnny B. with MostlyTrivial.com. Ain't he funny?
Hey, I wasn't on the script.
Ain't he funny?
Quick shout out to the chat room, because Mad Marv just joined us. We have CMDA. Wow, sounds like a telephone protocol. Oh, wait, that's CDMA.
GSM, and?
And EIEIO.
That's right.
And Michelle, a.k.a. Country Signs, K.L. Wright, Kevin Devin, Mad Marv, as I said, he just joined us, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Stingray, Tim Elliott, and say it with
Zahadoom.
Me. There you go. Also want to wish a happy birthday from the listener birthday calendar in the wiki. We have Lance Heath. Happy birthday to you. His birthday is June 22. And this coming Saturday, June 25th.
Happy birthday, Mark. Your birthday's on 25. You're a jive turkey.
Well, that was lovely. No.
Is it the 25th? I've been retired from the rap scene for quite a while. So.
Yo-yo. I'm dealing with yo-yo here. Are we ready for the news?
Can't touch this.
News.
It's more news than you can swallow with Chuck and Craig.
In tonight's news, we found out that TiVo Desktop 2.3 is available. Only for Windows. Grumble, grumble, grumble. But this new release has the capability of converting their TiVo files directly to iPod, H.264, or PSP format directly, mm-hmm. so you don't need any third-party apps. However, it is a $25 purchase.
Now, do you have the TiVo desktop?
I have it running right now.
Now, do you get a free upgrade to this?
I don't think so, because I didn't buy anything.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't buy it. The other one is a free download.
I think they were saying they're having to charge with this because they had to purchase the technology to do this.
Yeah, that's why it's $25.
Dude, we could download software to do it for free.
Right, but then it's a third-party thing. See, I want to take it and go download, convert,
they
done.
Could too.
Well, you'd think.
The software that we're talking about, I think, was open source. You know, they just contribute and be a good netizen and use it for free. I mean, come on.
Because they're TiVo. They want to make money. They probably paid $5 for the license, and they want to charge you $25 for the software. I'm going to try it out and see how it goes, because it was a little grainy before, so we'll see how it goes. Hmm. So I'll give you a review on that, because I just found out about it moments before the show started. We also have Hacks and Strange Stories. Where is it? Hacks and Strange Stories! Okay, this isn't exactly techno anything, but it is kind of weird, so it goes into strange stories.
Gravity is involved here.
Okay, that's what I said to Men and Gay that one time. We can stretch anything into Technorama.
That's right, rubber bands. You got kinetic energy, and anyway. So anyway, these rocks, I don't know how, but when you look at them, it looks like aliens came. It's like they look about as odd as crop circles. Yeah, they got these rocks standing on edges in a
balanced
straight,
3, 4, balanced. 5.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I like the one that's an arch. It's actually like pancake-shaped rocks that is formed into an arch. That one is bizarre.
That was going to mention that one, as I was like, how in the world did you do that? I mean, you can't just hold them and lay it down because they're too heavy for just. I don't know how they do this. It's pretty amazing.
You can find that at teamsandtastic.com/rockstacking.
I can just imagine the bears come walk through there after they've been stacked and like, damn humans again, and knock them down.
Damn humans.
Anyway. Around the world, everyone's opening the bathroom doors to expose the...
Wash your hands before every email.
Yeah, Chuck Tomasi's the devil. I like it. Okay, it just feels tacked on. Have you used it, Chuck?
I'm weird. Sorry.
Go.
Craig, I heard that. You were taking a drink and almost lost it. I'm going to get you sooner or later. We're going to hear all over the microphone.
You're right.
Chuck, you owe me a new microphone. Did I ask for this?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And Craig's got a ton of stuff in the media corner.
Yes, and we'll start off with...
Not surprisingly...
Superman!
Dun-dun-dun!
Yes, I want to start off with that over at Ain't It Cool News, they've got a review of the Look Up in the Sky, The Amazing Story of Superman. It's a documentary of Superman starting off with the Max Fleischer cartoons, well, actually before that, talking about them, the developing Superman before it was even a staple in DC Comics all the way up till present day. And it's pretty cool. They said it's not a promo item for just for the movie, because they said the movie is only in the last 10 minutes, or they mentioned it in the last 10 minutes. And for Smallville, which is still, going on strong, that's only takes up about 10 minutes of the whole thing too. So it's not just a promo for those two properties, but it looks pretty cool. And I think if I'm not mistaken, he says it includes the 17 Max Fleischer animated shorts, which some of those are just fantastic if you haven't seen all of those. And, anybody that's got a little age on them probably has seen them at some point.
I prefer the term mature or seasoned.
True, yes. And over at Anik Cool News, they also have a review. Now, keep in mind, they have several reviews on the site already of Superman Returns. Some people that have seen, press screenings. But this one's spoiler-free. It doesn't really talk about anything that gives any plot away, but it talks about the movie itself, and it's a glowing review, and that's all I've seen. Now, I haven't read any of the spoiler ones. I'm trying to avoid those with Star Wars, I didn't really care. You know, I was like, spoiler, big deal. I know what's going to happen. But with Superman, I don't know, I'm being a little more protective. So this one is spoiler-free, and you can go get an idea of what the movie is going to be like. Now, I also have a link to archive.org that has some links to the Max Fleischer Superman shorts. There's at least four of them there. So you can go download some of those and check them out. There's some really good ones. I like the ones kind of like the Bugs Bunny cartoons where he's dealing with Hitler and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, really dates itself, but they're pretty cool. And you can go see some of those. They got like six or seven of those shorts on archive.org.
Cool. And finally?
Over also at archive.org, apparently this is a podcast, themovieguy.com. He posts his videos up there, and there he had an interview with Brandon Routh. And it's pretty cool. You start watching it, and I kept thinking, you know, he does kind of look like and sound like Christopher Reeve. So I can totally see how he's going to fold into this movie. So I'm getting really excited about it. And you can go check out the interview. And that's over at archive.org.
Now, what did you find out about Star Trek? I didn't see this one.
Now, I must have been just raking over all the news over Anik Cool News today. But the insider is reporting that J.J. Abrams and company are smitten with the notion of Matt Damon as James T. Kirk in the forthcoming relaunch of Star Trek.
Got to see if they believe it.
What do you think about that?
To quote Kiff...
Come on, Kip. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Maybe.
Matt Damon as Kirk. I think he can pull it off. He's got kind of got that look, I guess. I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat room?
Isn't Matt Damon older than Kirk, older than William Shatner was when he played Kirk? How old is Matt Damon right now?
He might be. How old was Kirk when he was doing Star Trek then?
I'd have to say that was late 20s, almost 40 years ago. Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, so it had to be like right on the cusp of 30-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think Matt Damon's over 30.
But, you know, they posed the question at the end of the article, well, who would play Spock? I was thinking, get Ben Affleck.
I'll do it. Oh, wait, I'm older than that.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, Leonard Nimoy's got a little more age on than Shatner, doesn't he?
A little bit. I think DeForest Kelly was the oldest. Anyway, and we found out some Doctor Who news.
Yes, it's a little saddening to me because I got attached to the first Doctor. Of course, he went away. I really love the second Doctor. He's sticking around, but Rose is leaving.
Oh, we should have said spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Not really a spoiler. I mean, it's been all over the news, but Rose is leaving.
I'm not upset.
You're not? You don't like Billy Piper? Really?
No.
Hmm.
No. It got a little overdone.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I know you haven't seen any of the second season.
Yeah.
But if you watch the first couple of them, she really turns it on. She's a lot better in the second season. So I was like, oh, man, finally we're seeing a really good side of her. And, yeah.
She just bugged me.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't bug me. I think she's starting to get her legs under her, so to speak, you know, in the second season. So that's why it sucks because I can't get attached to any of them. Keep coming and going. However, the new Doctor, he rocks. I'm telling you, he rocks. I really like him.
I'm still going to hold out till Sci-Fi Channel puts it on.
Come on, Chuck. Come over to the dark side.
No.
I'm telling you.
No.
You're missing it.
No.
Jump in the TARDIS.
No.
You sure?
No.
You positive?
Okay. CGI. Flash animation.
Yeah. this is a pretty cool Flash animation I've been passing around to some of my buds today. It's if you ever seen the interface to Macromedia Flash, where it has the timeline and the little indicators for the different frames across the top.
Yep.
Well, there is a stick figure character, and he's trying to make an escape, and he's actually fighting with the mouse.
The arrow pointer.
The arrow pointer. It's a lot of fun to check out, and the person did a really good job because he's using all the interface options, like the different mice and the eraser and everything to fight with the arrow. So
and they start drawing weapons too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, and our next item up for bid, DirecTV Titanium is the ultimate couch potato.
I'm not sure what to make of this. Go ahead.
Well, for $7,500 a year, that's about $625 a month.
That's about twice what I paid for my second vehicle.
You can get everything on DirecTV, period. Including all the HD stations.
With 10 DVRs. God. Which would be fine if I owned a cheap, sleazy motel. Yeah. With only 10 rooms.
It might be a deal if you owned a hotel.
Well, if you figure out $7,500 a year times 10 DVRs divided by 12, not times, divided by, it's like $6,250 a month. Come on, I would only be paying, like $1,250 or something for TiVo? And granted, this is satellite, and you get every channel. It's like, do I need every freaking channel?
This reminds me a while back, sometime, maybe it was early last year, maybe before that, this guy had made, or I forget it, maybe it was a company, they were making a DVR with 7 tuners. And at first, I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. Then after a minute, I was like, who the hell watches that much TV? They need 7 tuners on their DVR. I mean, come on. 2, I think, is a great number. You know, how much TV do you need to record and watch?
Couch.
I don't have enough time to watch TV and my podcast and make podcasts. Much less having 7 tuners to help take up some more time.
Couch potato. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Okay.
Guten Morgen. My name is Wilhelm from Germany. Whenever I am driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Chuck Chat Technorama podcast with his little friend Craig Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Endlich ein.
You're feeling kind of speechless? Well, that's because you're not listening to enough Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp. This is Victor Cajal of the Typical PC User Podcast, and I'm here every Wednesday and Saturday watching them do the show and listening to the magic happen. Now back to Chuck and Craig.
I think you've got something there, and I'll wait outside until you clean it up.
Chuck Chat Technorama. More fun than a blue screen of death.
And how?
I don't know. I'll take the blue screen, please.
I'll take the guy who goes, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Alex, I'll take blue screens for $300.
What is the driver associated with? Oh, wait. I'm not asking the question. You're asking the questions. It has to be free. The answer has to be formed in the phrase of a question. So
an answer.
The answer is 0x. 1B00000C.
That is correct.
Ding! No! You're supposed to say, what is the crash code for a video driver?
I'm sorry, I thought you were answering the question. See, I'm all confused.
We stink at Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I smell another intro. Geek Library.
The first thing I want to talk about is I saw the Back to the Future replica Nikes.
Back
Remember
to the
Nikes
future.
That kind of
Back to the Future? They kind of inflated themselves? Them? Yeah.
You know, these actually light up. Apparently, there was a scene that was cut from the movie where Marty's playing basketball or something, and the shoes actually light up as he's playing. So these are even more true than the movie is, which that is possible.
Let me know when you get that blow-drying coat going.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Now, Dvorak posted a link today that caught my eye, was that, Massachusetts, there was a some guy, Cree Inc., said it had produced a white LED with the efficiency of 131 lumens per watt. That's pretty good, because that's like up there with light bulbs, you know, which is what the Holy Grail is for everybody, and that's right in there. Because, I mean, well, actually, I've got 60 watts. Why wouldn't... Or lumens, I'm sorry. Lumens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't 60 or 70 work? Well, that should be okay. Why can't I buy an LED like that?
It's probably very expensive so far. Got to get lots
stupid
of
stupid LEDs, man.
Well, yeah.
Get them on Radio Shack.
You use them. You use a lot of them. No, but these are the new ones that are record setting.
They're organic? What's the deal? I don't know.
And the world's best paper airplane, what did you find at lifehacker.com?
If you go there, they'll tell you how to fold the best paper airplane. And I followed along, and mine got a little lost. But it looked like
I got
some
rock.
Strange origami I made while I was drinking or something. But anyway, apparently this is supposed to be the one that flies the best. And they have a link to how to build the best paper airplane. And there's a Google video link right below that that shows you the guy doing it, so which might make a little more sense than just the instructions on how to fold the paper.
Next article.
Yeah,
you're full of life hacker today, aren't you?
Well, I just kind of went down the line, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Life Hacker, that's a good site. Where is this? The New York, the Federal Reserve. You know, you can actually order comic books that illustrate how money works.
How it works? You mean like economics of supply and demand and things?
The story of inflation. The story of monetary policy. The story of the Federal Reserve System. And so on and so on. Oh, my son would just love this comic.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Gee, Dad. Can you read the Federal Reserve one again?
No. Go back. I want to learn how bills are passed into law.
Up on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I'm having imagined images of, what is it, Schoolhouse Rock.
That's right. I'm just a bill.
You're just talking about Back to the Future and, what was that show that Michael J. Fox was on in the 80s?
Drawing a blank. Family Ties?
Family Ties, yes. That sounds like a comic that he would read to his kids.
Yeah. All right, kids, let's see how the Federal Reserve System works. Yeah, right. Yeah, Conjunction. I just saw CMDA was talking about that.
Hey, Craig, do you have a way I can speed up my Firefox?
Why, yes, Chuck, I do.
That was the worst segue ever, wasn't it?
No, I think we can work on that and make it worse. Anyway, there's a guy that posted in this forum talking about how you can add a new integer to your about config for Firefox and speed it up. What it does is actually tells Firefox how long to wait before displaying the page as it's loading.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed it, and it seemed like it was a little quicker. But, I mean, quicker or perceived quickness, I don't know. It's still getting the page and starting to display it before it renders it. You know what I'm saying? It's starting to spit all that out. So
it doesn't wait till it's got most of the stuff grabbed and then splash it at you.
Does the frame and then... Yeah, I mean, it's to 0 milliseconds.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I guess you can move it up if you really needed to, but it seemed to help. It looked, perceived faster. Now, if we actually load the page faster from the internet, I guess, what's the difference, I don't know. Anyway, you can go try it out. It seemed to work for me, so...
What's this last 70, one? This looks
I wouldn't
good.
Say to 70, 80%, but it worked.
What's this last one? Bill Gates' legacy, Microsoft's top 10 flops.
Yeah, over at OS Views, I got a link. Well, actually, they're referring to another link about, Bill Gates announced he was going to step down.
Yeah.
Really broke my heart. After I quit crying, I saw this article. And I was just kidding about that. Anyway, there's a link of some of his backed. I'm sorry. He some of his notorious flops is what I meant to say. And
oh, it's a top 10 list.
Yeah, number one, Microsoft Bob,
aka
did that Bob
son of Bob Clippy.
Now here's my biggest flop that I just can't stand: Windows ME, a pile of garbage.
Number three, tablet PC / pen computing / ebooks.
Now, I won't say the tablet PC is actually a big flop, but pen computing isn't really taken off, except for PDAs, I guess.
It hasn't met his vision, shall we say.
Ebooks haven't really come to fruition either. But however, I do read all those PDF magazines, which is, you know, and I have read some ebooks.
Number four, spot watches.
They still make them, but
smart personal object technology.
I still say they do look dorky, like they say in the article here. Number five, Microsoft Money.
A lot of people use that.
Yeah, but just like they say here, he could go, if antitrust fears hadn't put the kibosh on Microsoft's plans to buy into it back in 95, and I remember them almost doing that, Microsoft may have been able to buy Quicken and turn its online banking product into a market leader. Instead, the Redmonians had to plod all along with Microsoft Money, which seemed to garner more wrath and praises from its users. I don't know a lot of people using Microsoft Money. Do you?
Number six.
No, do you, Chuck?
I know a lot of people who used to use Microsoft Money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I know most people I know, they think about Quicken. Anyway.
Number six, DOS 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
MS-DOS 4.0, we should say.
Yeah, that's when it came out with their little windowing menu system. It was like the precursor to, not precursor, but it was like their Windows kind of tacked on there a little bit.
Text version of Windows?
No, it wasn't text. It was,
it was text.
Yeah, it was. But it worked much like Windows did.
Yep.
That was already out, yeah.
Number seven.
Microsoft TV.
Oh, man, that was great.
who shot BG?
Number eight, MSNBC partnership / Microsoft as a content player.
Yeah, they just couldn't pull that one off. MSNBC. No, I mean, it just hasn't worked out for them like I think they hoped.
Number nine.
And this guy seems to think that number nine, live meeting web conferencing software, he says, is still waiting to be bowled over by the need for presence on other... What?
Bowled over by the need for presence and other always-on technologies.
Oh, sorry. He hadn't been impressed by it. And number 10, no Microsoft Linux. Now, I'm kind of surprised that on one hand that they haven't come out with the Microsoft Linux. On the other hand, I know if they did, that would just pretty much substantiate Linux. So, what would they do? You know, there's no way they're coming out with Microsoft Linux.
All right, that wraps up that top 10 list. That was fun. I could probably throw a couple others in there, but... Don't forget, yeah, also in the Geek Library. Before we wrap up, Marv's collection of stuff, hard drive PC case mods, two-stroke apparent motion, a Teddy USB doll, how Marlon Brando reprised his role in Superman Returns.
And by the way, go look at that because it has a little video associated with that, and it shows them building Marlon's face and how it kind of gives a little quick synopsis of what they're done. As they're going through the process, it's pretty cool.
I knew we couldn't get past a Superman mention without you saying something.
I'm excited about Superman. Are you not?
I'm just kidding. Yes, yes, I am. Jeez. You
better. So I'm coming to Wisconsin to take you to the movies.
That'd be nice. All right, take them out of the show.
Wait.
What?
Wait. You, once again, get to read the ending credits.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
I'll try not to blow out the microphone this time.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
I want you to read it as Spock.
Got to get in character.
Today, Junior.
Don't forget, we would like you to send us your pictures for Chuck's presentation at the Podcast Expo. And give us a review in iTunes. The Friends in Tech are still competing during the month of June for your votes, your reviews on iTunes Music Store. Technorama, make it a habit. If you want to contact us, the logical choice is the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. There's also Skype if you add Chuck Chat to your buddy list. You can email either chuck@chuckchat.com or send your audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com.
Spit it out, Spot.
Craig can also be reached at craig@chuckchat.com. Live long and prosper on the website chuckchat.com for all your needs in forums, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and more. This show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Who's doing our audio streaming this week?
Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Mr. Scott? Hey, Scott. Captain!
Hey, I do want to say that if you go and throw us an iTunes review, I may throw you a Mac.
Really?
A Performa. I can arrange to get you a Performa. So yes, please, we're trying to compete with the rest of the Fit members, so come on out. Pull it out. We need some more reviews, please.
As always, we hope you enjoyed the show. Tell a friend about Technorama and
the tip jar.
A binary high five.
101.